Yo, 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 Thought Warriors.
Ooh.
What is up? Higher Learning is on. Zy Van Lathan.
And it's me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay. That voice is hoarse. You sound like me coming on the podcast. What you been doing?
I haven't really been going crazy. You know, Turks. I mean, Turks and Caicos. Turks. Turk. I like that word.
I've been to Turks and Caicos. It's a good time.
You enjoy it?
I loved it.
It's fun.
It's a good getaway.
What did you do when you were here? What did you do?
We stayed at the Palms. My cousin runs that and the sister property Shore Club. And
that's where we are.
It's very nice. Was it done? They were doing something to it when we were there. Anyways, we just chilled, went to different restaurants every day. They've got this big fish fry on Thursdays. I don't know if it's still going on when you've been out there.
Interesting.
We did like snorkeling. Went and had what is it called? The conch? Is that the fish?
What? Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's
you go fishing for it.
Well,
we
I had a
fresh.
I had a conch fritter.
Okay. Yuck.
It's good.
As in, it was fried.
It was a conch fritter. It was like really good. It was really good. Super good conch fritter. Conch fritter.
Yeah, I had fresh conch. They picked it out in the ocean.
Yeah, fresh
gave
what?
Gave it to us. You know what? You had a fried one. So what
you,
are we doing
you had
here?
Fresh
what?
What
are we doing here?
What did you? You went down there and had some fresh what, Rach? Whoa, Rach.
Mine's fresh and yours is fried. Let's go. But you had a good time. Yeah, I mean, you're having a good time. You're having a good time.
It's cool. It's cool. It is. I got a lot of working through emotional stuff to do.
Okay.
It's just been we're getting into the holidays,
mm-hmm.
and it's starting to hit me kind of hard. So I want to be honest with the people. Like I'm having fun. You know, I was on a jet ski today. I was able to jet ski around. I had I jumped in the water off of a boat. Very nice. Very thankful. But, you know, we're going to talk about it. And I guess we might as well discuss it. The untimely death of Virgil Abloh really bothered me.
Mm.
It was something that everybody learned, like you know, we're here, we got in Friday,
mm-hmm.
Saturday happened, and Sunday. I don't know. I just got a lot of, I'm not finding the words on the podcast, and I talk for a living. It's difficult.
Well,
you know?
You knew Virgil, right?
No. I'd spoken to him before.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say that I knew him.
Can I ask you?
I would say that I knew him. Yes.
Because I feel like a lot of people, you're not alone, are struggling with the untimely death. And I'm curious for you, is it because one, it was unexpected. Two, he was so young. And then three, because he was suffering in silence and we had no idea. And I think I guess for all those things, I would say for me are it, but just it's just like you never know what people are going through. And he was, and then of course it brings back Chadwick Boseman, and it just makes you think about, I don't know, reevaluate your life and what you're complaining about and maybe what's in front of you. And then you just never know what the next person is struggling with or, you know, even dying.
Yeah. It's, so, you know, I was not expecting. You know, like my dad was sick, but like he wasn't gonna die, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said that was gonna happen. So, when it happened, I just thought about like his kids, and they didn't even get as much time with their dad as I got with my dad. You know, and me and my dad had like so much more left to do, but if you've ever been in that spot where like someone calls you and tells you somebody that that's that close to you has passed away, you just like never want that to happen to anybody ever again, right? And obviously right. it's going to happen. You can't stop it from happening, but it, I don't know. It's difficult because when you come out to a place like Turks, right? You're in the water, you're jet skiing, everybody's eating, everybody's dancing. It's like a full on celebration of life. And normally when I'm carefree, like I'm a different person. There's Van and then there's like Island Van. Mm-hmm, Van mm-hmm, is like, he's different, you know?
Yeah.
He's got a little rum punch in him. You know, his hips are a little looser.
Oh.
You know what I mean? You know, oh, he likes, he likes to get it.
Yeah,
he's lighter. Yeah. He's lighter. He's lighter. He's just not talking about all kinds of crazy, but something's just like, it's pulling at me. It's pulling. It's like a ghost, weirdly enough. A mm-hmm. specter.
Mm-hmm.
That as soon as you like have a free moment, your mind is going to be like, hey, this is something you never got to do with your father. And then like, I wasn't really thinking about it until I read that. And I thought, Jesus, man, the grief train just adds more passengers. Mm. Like how many passengers can the grief train hold? We're just barreling down into the unknown, just like with a train of grief. And I didn't think that it would bother me as much because, you know, Thanksgiving was all getting ready to come out on the trip. And then I was going to be back and I had to work and to do all of this stuff. It's big time with a lot of stuff going on, but I'm just kind of waiting. Just waiting. Like I was in the water today and I was treading water, you know, showing everybody what a great swimmer I am. Treading water out in the ocean. And I kind of feel like that in life sometimes. I'm just waiting. Waiting. Trying to keep my head above water. And it's I'm starting to get tired. Like I'm just like my it's I'm starting to I'm starting to get tired. It's like the water is beautiful, but it looks a little bit less beautiful than it did when we used to come out here before. Hopefully it'll pass. You know, if it doesn't, then I got to figure out different ways to cope and deal and all of that stuff. But I don't know. It's good to get together, good to see everybody, good to celebrate birthdays and good to hang out with everyone. But it's been a little bit different this time around.
Well, I think that one that's honest, and I know somebody who's listening to this now is probably going through something similar, and you talking about it is making them feel like they're not alone. I think that it's honest to feel like you're just waiting, you know, for different reasons. I think we all feel like that, but at the same time, I don't think that it ever gets, it's like that picture that I was telling you about, you know, I just think that over time, you'll just be able to deal with the feelings that you have, but I don't think it ever goes away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very uplifting. Thank you for that, Rach.
I'm just like, do you want me to lie?
I kind of want you to be like, hey man, 6 weeks, you're going to be back up and around,
no,
man. I'm not going to lie,
no.
bro. You're going to get back on the horse.
Because I'm just such a believer in processing your feelings and connecting with nature just brings something totally in a different way out of you. And, you know, you don't have all the distractions that you have when you're here. And so you're probably dealing with things that you've been able to sweep under the rug. I'm just a believer in I'm not trying to make you feel any kind of way.
No, of course. No, I understand. You're
a believer of processing it. And I just, it will get better though.
No, of course it will.
I'm also such a negative person. I'm sorry, Van.
Why are you negative?
No, I'm
Why are you negative?
I just, people say that about me. I'm not trying to be.
I don't think that you're negative. I think that you're.
It will get better. It absolutely will. But I also believe in like being in the moment and whatever you're feeling, allowing yourself to feel that.
You know something else? It's like, it, like my friend, like all my friends can like everyone here, Kalik and everybody, they can always tell when I'm like down, right? And I miss the one person who can't tell. The dog.
Oh.
I miss the dog, man.
And who will be waiting for you when you get back?
What a boy.
What a boy. You know I'm the emergency contact for Bozeman.
Are you?
No, I just said no.
Who decided that?
Oh my gosh. You know we take dogs in over here.
Who decided that? I don't know. I think I would want Bozeman. I'm trying to think of who I would want Bozeman to.
Good with dogs here. We've already taken in somebody else's dog.
Yeah, I did, but I know. But Bozeman is—he's different, though. He's like a human slash dog. He's a Hugh dog or a hog. He's like a human slash dog. He's
not
like
Copper.
A human. I haven't met Copper yet. I've heard this about Copper though.
Yeah, like he's very very much so like a human. So you know.
This is what I've heard. This is what I've heard.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. You could be doing anything this week, right? You've got work, errands, friends, and a whole lot of fun in between. That's why the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the capable SUV that's built for your life. With premium interiors, available wireless charging, and room for your whole cargo and crew. Okay, Hyundai. Visit HyundaiUSA.com to learn more about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe.
We should go a little deeper into Virgil Abloh and who he was.
Yeah.
Now, it came as a shock to everyone that Virgil Abloh passed away a couple of days ago at the age of 41. He had a very rare form of cancer called cardiac angiosarcoma. That is essentially a tumor on your heart or tumors in and around that area. It is very aggressive, very fast moving, and the prognosis is not good once you are diagnosed with it. He was diagnosed with it back in 2019, and he had all the treatments that you can have. He had a bunch of chemotherapy. He was enduring this privately, trying to obviously be there for his friends, his family, and his industry. He is the CEO of Off-White. So if you ever saw, you know, the people wearing the shoes, they got the orange tags on them. Off-White was an incredibly popping brand, like super popping brand, like a super popping brand. And then he went on to do work at Louis Vuitton. He had basically influenced everyone. Mm-hmm. Virgil Abloh had influenced everyone. And, you know, Virgil Abloh was a guy that a lot of people had some fun with him. You know, like being a celebrity, he wasn't without, I guess, missteps or quote unquote controversies or whatever. But everyone loved him. Everyone was inspired by him. He inspired people, not just in fashion, but in music. He had designed many different album covers, and he had dressed the whole entire industry in terms of hip hop. And to be a black man that had the position that he did at Louis Vuitton was just, it shouldn't be, but it was absolutely trailblazing. So it was just very sad. It's like a titan in culture, like a cultural titan, and a trailblazer passed away, gone too soon.
Yeah, no, I mean, very well said. I couldn't agree with you more, not just being a black man, but also being so young and accomplishing 41. So much. And what I would continue to see people say is that one thing from his life that you could learn is that he believed in living it and taking advantage of every moment and every opportunity that was in front of him, not waiting for those moments to happen, but creating them. So If you didn't know him before, you should definitely research and see all that he did and the impact that he had on the culture, or even outside of the culture. I mean, even he really touched a lot of different people.
Culture. Yeah, culture.
Period. Not just our culture. Yeah.
Yeah. But our culture is culture. We are culture. But yeah, Virgil Abloh is a cultural titan, just an amazing, amazing, amazing human being. So now it sparked a debate. It sparked a debate.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting to get your take on this debate. Mm-hmm. Virgil Abloh's death was shocking, much in the same way that Chadwick Boseman's death was. Because although there have been some pictures of Chadwick where he looked kind of thin, we did not know he was sick. He chose privacy, and Virgil Abloh chose privacy. We had no idea Virgil was sick. I don't know anyone who wasn't shocked by this. There are people that are saying it's, in a way, not fair, as I guess would be the complaint about it, that you have people who love you, you have people who follow you and who are inspired by you, and there's no preparation. One day they wake up and you've passed away. You're already shaking your head. What are your thoughts? I mean, people talked.
I didn't even realize I was shaking my head, Van.
I see it. There was debates on Twitter between fighting illnesses in public and then fighting them in private. There were people that were like, they would have wanted to know and be prepared for Virgil's passing or for Chadwick Boseman's passing.
That is so selfish. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm shaking my head. I just feel like that's such a selfish thought, because it's not about you. It's about that person and how they wanted to spend the remainder of their life, how they wanted their loved ones to view them. I don't think, and maybe you can call it a little selfish that they chose to do it in that way and not tell you, but maybe they wanted you to remember them full of life and not think of them as somebody who was sick or feel sorry for them. They wanted you to see them like you always see them. And I think you have to respect people's privacy at the end of the day. And if that's how they chose to spend their last days walking this earth, then that's absolutely their right. And who are we to tell them, you should have done this, or I wish you would have done this so I could prepare? Imagine what that person was going through as they were getting their affairs in order, knowing that, you know, it was the beginning of the end for them.
Yeah. You niggas need to get off the internet. You niggas have jumped the shark. I'm just being for real.
I can't even believe this was a debate.
Y'all jumped the shark. I'm hearing Turks. There's sharks out here in this water, most likely. Hope to not see any.
No, there are.
And y'all niggas have just jumped over the sharks. You jumped the shark. Come on, man. All right, we're not going to spend too much time on this, because the reality is that there are people that this wasn't private to. It was private to Virgil, but it wasn't private to his family. It wasn't private to those people closest to him. It wasn't private to his inner circle of friends, his inner circle. They knew, right? So he needed to draw on them and get love from them to be strong enough to go fight the thing. And maybe, to be honest with you, this should tell you guys something. How toxic this entire social media culture is, that people are going through this and they don't feel like they can turn to social media or any of these other public outlets and get encouragement and get energy. They know that there are going to be some people out there with crazy things to say. There are going to be some people out there that are talking about whatever. I saw tweets that are talking about how cancer is preventable and what we have to do with our diets and all of that stuff like that. Look, man, it's never That's a wrong so time to talk about health, but this it's the wrong time. What I'm saying is, nobody owes you niggas nothing.
Nothing.
And when I say niggas, I mean everybody. Don't nobody owe y'all nothing. I tell y'all if I'm sick. I tell you guys if somebody in my life is sick, if it's helpful, if you're going to feel like you're going to get reassurance, it's fine. But come on, man. God damn. We need more board games, or like the people got to find something to do. Do people still play Connect Four?
I don't know if they play Connect Four, but there are board games out there that people do play.
This is what I'm saying.
Cards, something.
every time y'all about to say something that's fucking dumb is that or start think piece something to death, go play some Connect Four, man.
Some tic-tac-toe.
Too many think pieces, not enough Connect Four. All right, we got a lot of think pieces, but if I wanted to get a Connect Four game right now, I couldn't get one. But I love playing Connect Four. Don't you love it?
I love Connect Four. I do.
Blue or red?
It's not blue.
It is blue. It's blue and red.
It's black and red. No, that's checkers.
What the fuck is happening here? What is going on here? What?
I was ready to argue you down no. that it was Whoa. Black and red. I was thinking Whoa. Checkers. I was thinking
You're
checkers.
Thinking checkers. I get it.
Forgive
I understand.
Me. Forgive
I
me. There's another game out there. Definitely red though.
Ooh. Definitely red. Definitely. Wow.
What I will say though is, towards the debate, I did see something. Shout out to Justin Moore. My friend posted on social media where he said, you know, it made him really think about where we are as a community and our engagement when it comes to cancer and cancer prevention. And he's talked mm-hmm. about how there should be a larger conversation about it because Black and African American people in the U.S. have the highest cancer mortality and shorter survival rate of any racial or ethnic group. So I will say it is a conversation that we need to have to be more aware. And maybe that's not the right time to have it, but it was an interesting post that I saw because I was like, huh, we don't maybe talk about it enough. I never knew that statistic about how that affected our community. So it is something that, you know, maybe right now is not the time to talk about it, but we should be more engaged with it if it's affecting us in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, maybe my emotions got the better of me there. Look, let me tell you something, Rachel.
No, that debate is stupid. That debate is stupid.
Rach, yes. Let me vindicate you really quickly. I am seeing Connect Four with three different colors. I am seeing red and yellow. I am seeing, of course, the red and blue that I'm used to playing. And I am definitely seeing Connect Four on the cover of the box. Red and black for Rach.
Just loud and wrong.
Rach is vindicated.
Thank you. I'm not crazy. Thank you.
You're not.
Thank you.
You're not.
Thank you. I want to go home. I'm done. I feel like my work is done today.
Rach, guess what?
What?
You did it. Okay. It's court time. Jussie Smollett's trial starts today. Okay, Rachel. Okay. If you guys remember, Jussie Smollett, who is now 39, was indicted on 6 counts last year by a Cook County, Illinois grand jury for allegedly faking the robbery and assault that had the internet on fire in 2018. It's Jussie Smollett. Okay, he's from Empire. Mm-hmm. He's an activist as well. Be honest with you.
Do we still say that?
Full disclosure, what am I about to say?
What?
I know Jussie Smollett.
Did you? Okay. Do you have a quote for us?
I don't have a quote for you, but I just want to let people know because they always say stuff about the people
shit.
That
what
I know.
What are you about to say? There's only one opinion to have here.
What's the opinion, Rachel?
Wait. Do you believe he's guilty or not guilty?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. I believe he's guilty. Okay.
Okay.
I will say this. I'll tell you this. I believe he's guilty. Just looking at everything. It's weird. I will say this, though. Jussie Smollett has maintained his innocence in this from day one.
That's all he can do.
Has stuck to his story from day one. Has a bunch of people around him that
Family.
Also maintain his innocence.
Family.
Right? That he did not do this. He has a complete explanation for all of this. It's going to come out during the trial. And even though my gut tells me, just with the preponderance of evidence that I see, that he's guilty, I am saying this. Not only am I hoping that I am wrong, desperately hoping that I am wrong, but there is a possibility. That's why I'll ask you, Rach. Do you believe that there is a possibility that Jussie Smollett is innocent of the crimes that they are saying that he committed.
Okay. We were trying to talk this out at work today because this is like really big news. I didn't realize how big of a deal. I didn't realize it was starting this week. This is everywhere at the moment, okay? And to refresh your minds, in January 2019, Jussie Smollett alleged that he was attacked by two racist white men, fill in the blanks where I missed this, who tried to put a noose around his neck and yelled, what, racist
MAGA.
Things?
MAGA. They said MAGA towards him, okay? Yeah.
Okay. And everybody, this caught fire. I was one of the people who posted on social media.
Of course,
I posted a picture of me and Jussie together. And I was really.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see.
Total traitor.
Well, I didn't say that I know him.
Total traitor.
But I definitely posted.
Total
and I was like,
traitor.
Hope that you get better. You know, I was this whole thing. And then it came out that two men that he worked with on Empire at one time, that he had paid them to stage this attack. I believe
well, there were trainers, alleged trainers, is what they said. Allegedly,
weren't
they
on Empire?
His trainers. But they were only on Empire, though, if they were only on Empire, if memory serves correct, because he was their trainers, and then he got them jobs as extras on Empire. From what I remember, it's been a long time since I dove into the Jussie Smollett pool.
But he apparently wrote them checks, and I believe there is proof of these checks. So here's my thing. I was talking about this at work today, and I'm trying to understand. Okay, he wrote them checks. He could easily say, oh, I was paying for training. Oh, I was paying for this. But he said that he was attacked by white men, right?
Right, right.
You knew that the men who attacked you at least weren't white, right? Were that they have... What? They had sunglasses on at 2 a.m?
I'm not sure what the actual story is going to be, but there's going to be a story. So what if he thought that the men that attacked him were white, but they really weren't?
Okay, so they would have had to have their eyes covered because, mind y'all, it was also 2 a.m. that he was getting a Subway. Have we confirmed that Subway's open at 2 a.m. in Chicago, in that area?
Subway's, hold on. Subway's open. Look, now I got my pen out. Now I'm Jussie Smollett's defense lawyer. Subway is open at different times all over the country, okay? And by the way, he also maintains that he had just gotten off of a flight not too long ago. The flight landed. He got home. He was hungry. He had wanted to go to Subway. I would ask counsel, Miss Lindsay, have you ever gone to a place at 2 a.m. in the morning for food. And if you say no, I will remind you that you are under oath. And it wasn't too long ago. We talked about a place in Texas called Fuel City where you would go and get food at night at 2 a.m.
Got me. Okay, but here's the thing. I would never go by myself. As a woman at night at 2 in the morning, I would not go by myself. Fuel City's popping at 2 in the morning,
Fuel
City. It's the after party.
Hey, so many motherfuckers hit me up about Fuel City.
Did they hit you up about Fuel City?
I gotta try Fuel City, bro. Fuel City is lit, doc. I'm gonna be real with you.
This is when I get my street cred back. You know, I'll be saying something that takes it away, but then when I drop a Fuel City, they'll be like, oh, okay.
Texas fucking with you.
But here's the thing. I just can't reason why he would pay them unless even if they had on gloves, a hat, and a scarf, the surrounding parts of their eyes would have shown that they were not white. Okay? I just don't understand it. I'm very curious as to what will come out. The judge has ordered that there cannot be cameras in the courtroom, which I actually like. I think it's such a distraction when you have cameras in. So we'll be getting pieces of what's happening in trial day by day. But I personally think he's guilty. He has been, and if you're also following the case, you know that he was charged. Then they dismissed all the charges, which makes you feel like, okay, they didn't have enough evidence to move forward. But then due to public pressure, they brought in a special prosecutor who then filed charges again against him, this time felony disorderly conduct. I didn't even know that was a charge. And so if he is found guilty on all 6 counts, he could face up to 3 years in prison. I don't think that's going to happen, but you know.
Let's just say for argument's sake.
But his career is guilt, like done.
His career isn't done. Why do you want to say that about Jussie
Because
Smollett's
I just
career,
don't,
man.
I just think that there's so much. It would be years before I think that he could come back. And I think it would have to be in steps, like a Hallmark movie, maybe a Lifetime movie. I think
well,
I just.
You might want to keep a lookout.
Oh, you got intel?
You might want to keep a lookout. Look,
I mean, there could be
all,
a whole Lifetime story surrounding this. You know what I mean?
Let's say that he did
buying Christmas gifts for someone at 2 a.m.
Let's say that he did, if he did do it. Let's say he did do it, right? Let's just say, for argument's sake, that he did do it. Let's say he did do it. So what?
That he did?
Yeah, so what, right? I always felt this way, by the way.
No.
Van's caping for another person that he knows. Let's say he did do it. So what?
That? No. It is not a so what.
It's a hoax.
Are you okay?
It's a hoax.
But that's not what? A hoax. A hoax,
it's a hoax.
Is a
He's
hoax
hoaxing
is
it
like
up.
A what dropping a water balloon on somebody from a hotel window. A hoax
well,
is
that's
not.
Funny.
A hoax is not.
So wait, you want so if in fact he did do it, you want them to throw the book at Jussie Smollett?
No, I didn't say I said he's not going to get 3 years.
So what I'm saying is, what's
someone
the...
hiring him again? Because I couldn't see it. I can't see it any other way. When I see him, I see that he staged an attack, which was so unnecessary. I don't know what kind of person thinks to do that. Why you felt the need to do that? I just can't see him any other way. I can't.
Would you hire Jussie Smollett for something?
For what?
Why? A prank show? That would be hilarious if they had Jussie Smollett to do a prank show.
Hosting the show. Like,
but look, but why everybody else, let's say he did do it, right? Why everybody else get a second chance and not Jussie Smollett? Why are you saying Jussie Smollett's career got to be over?
It's people that have done worse.
You're way right. worse.
I just can't
and got
imagine
put back
it.
On.
I just can't. Like my, I'm more so concerned about your mental health. Why you felt like that was okay to do,
right?
And why you wanted to do that. Like, is everything okay? What was the reasoning behind that? If he's found guilty, you know,
if he's found guilty. And by the way, when Jussie Smollett beats the case, I want the entire culture to celebrate. Because all they want to do is throw our brothers in jail.
You brought this song to yourself.
Can't argue there. Hey, can't argue there. Look, and here's the thing. And, you know, so Jussie might listen to this and be surprised to hear me say.
Does he listen to our podcast? No.
He's listened before.
He's busy.
Like, he might listen to this and be surprised to hear me say that. In my heart of hearts, I think that he's guilty. It's just that when you lay the evidence out, it doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good. It doesn't.
When you, that's okay.
Okay, would you like some water and some chocolate?
Oh, water and chocolate is great, though.
Oh, okay. One second.
Thank you.
You always have room service every single time you're away in New Podcast.
It's not room service. It was the housekeeping.
Okay, housekeeping. Somebody's always knocking at your door.
It happens a lot, the hotels. I'm hoping that he beats it. And last thing I'll say about this. People say, I want to shoot back against a narrative right now where people say, if Jussie Smollett did this, then you got to throw the book at Jussie Smollett because, oh, thank you very much. If Jussie Smollett did this, then you got to throw the book at Jussie Smollett because... You too, ma'am.
You too.
Because the next time someone makes an actual complaint, the police aren't going to follow through with it because of what Jussie Smollett did.
That's part of the problem.
Do you guys realize that the police can't do that? I just want to make sure everybody knows. Like, if the fire department goes out to a fire, right, and it's a false alarm, they go out to a fire, false alarm, no fire. Like someone swatted them or a kid played a joke. The fire department can't then go the next time somebody calls them. The fire department can't go. You know what? The last time we went out, it was a hoax. So I don't think that we're going to go out this time because the last time we went out for a fire, these kids were playing around and being wacky. They can't do that. The police have to stop accepting crumbs. The police, I don't care if a million people hoax the police. If the police get a criminal complaint, they have to investigate it. If I'm walking down the street and I get I'm the victim of a racist attack, and I go to the cops, and the cops say, because of what Justice Smollett did, they're not going to look into it. Bullshit. The cops can't do that. The cops have to go out and investigate crimes.
They sure do. Right? But guess what doesn't have to happen? A prosecution.
Right.
You're not looking at the other side of it. You're not looking at it.
But even a prosecution, if there's not enough evidence to prosecute, that's one thing. But if they say they're not prosecuting because of what Justice Smollett did.
Well, they wouldn't say that. Nobody's going to say, I'm not prosecuting this because of what Jussie Smollett did. Nobody's going to say that. But you can't lie. That you can't deny that in the back of somebody's mind, if there's a very similar scenario, you might think, oh, gosh, we've been here before. I'm not saying that they won't follow through and there won't be law and order. But I'm just saying it does make people think, huh, like what if this happens to another famous person, right? But it really happens, okay? It really
right,
happens.
So what? If someone is the...
I'm just saying, everybody's going to think... You're right. You're right in the sense that,
as
yes.
As black people, we expect less. I'm telling you.
But I don't think they should throw the book at him.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is we expect less because we expect what somebody did in Chicago, Illinois to be able to affect us. And look, maybe it does. But the reality is it shouldn't. Like
it
you,
shouldn't.
That thought that, oh my God, the cops are going to stop believing us because one guy, that's kind of nuts.
I don't think
that's kind of nuts.
I don't think you can make that much of a generalization, but you can't deny that people, if there's a very similar circumstance that people might, like the people involved investigating or potentially prosecuting might be like, huh, well, you know, we might want to look at this another way because there was that Jussie Smollett case. I'm just saying.
Jussie Smollett, man. Woo!
I can't look at him any different. I just can't. He's got to play the part. From here on out, he's got to play that person, that character. The movie's got to be about that. But that's
Jussie.
That's his next role. If he's not guilty, he makes a movie about this. And there you go.
Jussie Smollett is talented. He's going to beat the case.
He is talented.
I think, but I hope that I'm wrong. And the reality is, guilty or innocent, Jussie Smollett has done a lot. He's an activist. He's done amazing things for AIDS awareness. He does amazing things for the culture. We should support Jussie Smollett.
And he still can.
And he still will. But he needs your support, Rach. Jussie Smollett needs your support. Your support, Rach.
I did support him.
You're trying to soup kitchen him.
I posted a picture. I wished him well. I was so upset. I was so outspoken about it.
Guilty verdicts in the Ahmaud Arbery trial. All the way around.
Right.
This happened last week. We couldn't give you a podcast on it because, you know, it's between podcasts. Sometimes news drops between podcasts. Rachel, your thoughts?
I mean, obviously, I was at work and I was like, man, if this goes a different way, I'm going to have to excuse myself from work. I'm not going to be able to handle all this. But I think, I guess I don't really have much to say. I'm happy that they were found guilty. I think it's sad that, one, I have to be happy over that because at the end of the day, it doesn't bring back Ahmaud. But I hope that it gives some sort of comfort to the family. But at the flip end, on the other end of it, I hate that I even had to hold my breath because there was a possibility.
Yeah,
that
you weren't sure.
They could be found not guilty because that is the society we live in. That's the justice or legal system, I should say, that we are a part of, like that runs our country. And the fact that it could have happened despite there being video evidence is wild to me. And then I just kept thinking, this happened in February of 2020. We didn't find out. We didn't get the video publicly until May 2020. And I just kept thinking, what if we had never received the video? These people probably would have gotten off. They would have gotten off. There had to be, like, we have to have every single thing to possibly get a guilty verdict. Doesn't even guarantee that. And that's all I could think of. But I am happy that they were found guilty. And I hope they rot in prison.
Yeah. Hope they rot in prison. I am obviously happy with the verdict. Of course, this is justice in a societal standpoint, in a universal cosmic standpoint. This is not justice. Once you take a life, there's no justice for that. The life is gone forever. Those memories and experiences are out in the ether with God. You cannot repair or restore that. Our lives have value. In terms of societal harmony, it is justice, because that's kind of what we're banking on to keep things moving forward. My thoughts and prayers are obviously with the spirit of Ahmaud Arbery, and with his family. Like I said before, I wish we had better things to celebrate. But I tell you what, had it gone the other way, I'm on the first thing smoking to Georgia.
I said the same thing at work.
Yep. On the first thing smoking to Georgia. Do whatever I can. All right, let's take a break. Man, Ari Lennox, the homie, arrested in Amsterdam for disturbing the public order after she said she was racially profiled by airline staff. Authorities arrested Ari Lennox on Monday morning in Schiphol. I don't know what it is. Come on, Dutch people. Get your words together so I can be more, have more accessible words. I love you, Dutch. After she accused airline staff of racial profiling, the military police said that she was being held in custody for disturbing public order. I watched her tweet about this this morning. She landed in the Netherlands. She said she was racially profiled. Then she was arrested. Now, if you remember, this is not the same place, because that was Sweden, but this is the same area. I'm going to paint them all with a broad brush. Where they had ASAP Rocky over there in the Bing. They had him in the Bing for like a long time, you know. So
God, I forgot about that.
You forgot about, you know who got him out?
Kanye
West. Why don't you give that man his credit? You're so hard on this man.
I just said Kanye.
Give that man his credit for doing his thing, Rach.
It's a different time.
Okay. My question to this is, obviously Ari Lennox, 10 times solid, 100 out of 100 in the culture, but is there ever a time where someone claims racial profiling and you don't believe them?
Jussie Smollett.
Oh my God.
I was like, is this a trick question? Because I'm going with Jussie. Wow. It's funny that you're asking this question, because that goes into exactly kind of what we were talking about before. When you have a Jussie, it makes you question other people. Then you literally.
It's so whack. You can't do that.
You did it to yourself.
You can't do that, man. That's not fair. Some people are going to lie about it. That's like, would you do that with sexual assault? Would you say that because the girl lied in the Duke lacrosse? See what I'm saying? Would you say that because the girl lied in the Duke lacrosse case, which she lied, because the girl lied in the Duke lacrosse case, then that means the next time somebody should be able to, hey, in the Duke lacrosse case, like,
no,
that she wasn't telling
take
the truth.
It seriously.
Of
you
course.
It's this.
Why we got to deal with this same shit, man?
No, it never even crossed my mind that Ari Lennox.
Wait a minute. By the way, did I just say that Sweden and the Netherlands were the same thing?
No, you said area. You said same area.
I don't even know if it's the same area, but go ahead, Rich. I'm sorry.
Well, it's all Scandinavian. They're Scandinavian countries.
Scandinavia.
Mm-hmm. Have you been over there? Have you been to Sweden or Amsterdam?
Nah, I want to go to, where's the Little Mermaid from? That's Denmark, right?
I've been to Denmark. Copenhagen. Yeah. I forgot about that, because there's a statue.
Did you see her?
There's
a statue of her. I would like to go and talk to that statue. See, this is the type of shit.
Okay, Flounder.
Can I tell you about this? Can I tell you about this? Before we'll get back on this whole Ari Lennox thing, but can I tell you about this? I want to talk to the statue to see if it comes to life. Because, look, I always, when I was a kid, I used to always think that these guys that wrote these stories, they were writing them based on real experiences that they had. Yeah. you know, okay. Barry, who wrote Peter Pan. So maybe that was him. Maybe he was Peter Pan. Mm. You know what I mean? He wrote about his own life. Mm. You know, the Little Mermaid. And then it's so she's so popping over there that they built Hans Christian Andersen.
She would have legs now. She'd have legs.
But no, but what I'm saying is maybe I'm the voice that if I talk to her, she'll come to life right then and there.
I love that you want to go all the way to Copenhagen.
For a white woman.
For that.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, Felipe.
Oh, too good. No, it's a great, honestly, you would have so much fun in Denmark. We went all on right. My season. We went on The Bachelorette.
Oh, very nice.
Okay. I have no reason to doubt Ari Lennox is really what I was trying to get to this entire time. Hmm. If she says that she was racially profiled, did she say how? Or did she say she just
no,
was?
Not necessarily. Okay. I was reading the tweets, but she was just basically saying that they were being racially profiled. Then she talked about the fact that she was actually being arrested after the subsequent accusation of el racial profilo. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly in the way that it's... I'm sure she's very transparent and very open on her socials. I'm sure we'll get the entire story pretty soon. Yeah. But it just made me wonder about, because people were talking about the racial pro. There are certain people that if they would say that they were racially profiled, people would like not believe them or not care. You know, if at this point, if Terry Crews came out and said, hey, I've been racially profiled, we'd be like, but if Ari Lennox says it, she's got so much cultural credibility that we know that Ashes
no
wouldn't make that up.
Her. Yeah. Yeah. But like Terry Crews would know. You know what I mean? He would never claim that. The way he's been out here in the public, I have a hard time believing that. You know? Like Mike Tirico would never say he's been racially profiled.
Now you got beef with Mike Tirico? I mean, what's the deal?
I'm just saying he doesn't think he's black. So I'm just saying people like that.
That bothers you when people don't think they're black like that?
It bothers me that Mike Tirico calls himself Italian and not black.
Yes. I'm gonna be honest with you.
He doesn't even think he's African American. Like that's the point.
Sweden to Amsterdam in a car is 16 hours. I don't know if you can say that those places are like. Or I think I'm fucked up on this. I think I fucked over because the Dutch are the Dutch, and then the Swedes are the Swedes. I think I fucked over the Swedes. By saying it was the same thing, because the same 16 hours and 45 minutes, that's like from here to like Arizona, man. Not here to New Mexico.
Okay, but that's Texas to New Mexico.
I'm saying Los Angeles to Texas. You can't really say that that's the same. That's kind of I'm kind of fucked over them.
That would
I don't
be
know geography.
More than 16 hours. But listen, they're Scandinavian countries.
They're Scandinavian.
Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Iceland, Finland, and the Faroe Islands.
All right, that's fine. That's Faroe, like Ronin Faroe. The Ronin Faroe Islands. We'll give you more on Ari Lennox as more comes out. But we ride with Ari Lennox. All right, we ride with you. Doja Cat won Best R&B Category at the American Music Awards, the AMAs, the Cracker J Jack and the Jack Jacks is what they're known as, the AMAs, that's what they call them. She people got pissed off about this. They said she is not R&B. She is pop. She's favorite female artist in the soul R&B category. And people got mad at Doja. Part of this is because we still haven't really gone back and reconciled the whole showing of feet. I think people still people still kind of this racial chat room showing feet. Doja
Cat. What it's called? It's called showing feet.
How can you not know about this?
No,
let
me tell you why I'm confused. I know she was in the chat rooms and I know that she was allowing people to like call her certain things, but why are you saying show and feet?
Clip this.
Is that a term?
Hey man, clip this. This is what we need. Donnie, I'm not fucking around. No, don't look it up, Rachel. Rachel, don't Google it.
It's too late.
Rachel, don't Google it. So wait a minute. This is hilarious. So I guess that there was at some point in the chat room that Doja Cat put her feet up, or she was letting the guys look at her feet, or they were getting off to her feet or something like that. And then Noriega, just out of nowhere, shout out to Nori. Nori just said, he sent out a tweet called, "She was in racial chat room showing feet." That's all the tweet said, with three exclamation marks behind it. And it was just so funny. He didn't even say her name. He didn't say nothing. Like, she was in racial chat room showing feet. And so now, showing feet is classically what Doja Cat's whole episode is about. And really, whatever anyone is out there tap dancing for the white man, being a white man's nigga, is basically, for a lot of people, talked about as showing feet.
Showing feet. Okay.
Showing feet. Okay. So Doja Cat apparently was showing feet. All right. We win it. We got it now, Rach. Oh, clip that.
Oh, if you go clip my Fuel City stuff. Don't clip
Fuel City too. Okay. Do you have a problem with Doja Cat winning this award?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
I actually do, because you got to look at everybody else that's in that category with her. And it's like, who doesn't belong? Okay, this is who else is in the category. Her, Jasmine Sullivan, Janae Aiko, and SZA.
SZA. Okay.
And then Doja Cat. Who doesn't belong in the group? And to add to that, Doja Cat was also nominated for Favorite Pop Artist. Favorite female pop artist. And her song was nominated for favorite pop song. Doja Cat is pop. And I think it's unfair for her to be in both categories. When you look at who was nominated for pop artist, Ariana Grande, Dua Lipa, Olivia Rodrigo, Taylor Swift, that fits. She fits in that category. But Jasmine Sullivan is not going to be in that category. Janae Aiko is not going to be in that category. Like, it's not fair. And the fact that she has a chance to win in both, and then she wins in R&B when that's not really what her music is, not really fair for her to win it. The other women never stood a chance. So I understand the complaint, especially when you see what else she was nominated for. I think it should be one or the other.
Okay, let's have a conversation.
Okay.
Aren't there acts that at certain times cross genres? Would you say, like, Prince could be in R&B and rock and maybe even pop? Prince definitely has R&B songs, for sure.
Okay. 1,000%. Okay. But do you think it's, you're right, but do you think it's fair that in the same year you're saying that that album is both and you get to be nominated for both?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Because what I'm saying is, you could even nominate Doja Cat in hip hop.
I'd give her hip hop over R&B.
So I guess I listen to Say So, and I hear R&B vibes on Say So. You know what I mean?
But it's a pop song.
Okay, so what's the line then? You know what I'm saying? So
Kiss Me More is totally a pop song, and that's why it was nominated for that. You got SZA on that, and it's still a pop song.
Can you be honest with you?
Two women who are nominated under R&B, and it's still listed as a pop song.
So here's the thing: if you want to keep the R&B, if you want to keep R&B pure, right? Then you have to only go for the real, real, real R&B, right? Because they're acts. So wait, hold on. They're acts who blur the line of R&B and pop, always have been. Usher blurs the line of R&B and pop. I would say Beyonce blurs the line of R&B and pop. Sometimes even El Rihanna blurs the line of R&B and pop. You know what I mean? So I'm saying that when I saw this, I think Doja Cat is more in that mold. You know, she's a cat.
I see Doja Cat as pop. And pop. I think when I looked at the women who were listed in the favorite female R&B artist category, they are true R&B.
True R&B.
There's no crossover. And then the fact that when I was like, oh, well, she was nominated for pop artist. Like, let's just, like, to me, she's more pop. She sometimes touches into R&B, but she's pop. She's pop.
And the ladies need, the true R&B ladies need their shine. I got you. Point made, Rach. Oh, Rach, I don't know if you knew, but like while I was gone, some new shit dropped just in time for Black Friday.
What's
and
that?
The new products. The Omarion variant has dropped.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That's not okay for you to be calling it. You better get
vaccinated like you're supposed to be. You're going to be coughing like you're supposed to be.
Wow. You're going to
be hacking like you're supposed to be. Ooh, don't get close to me. Or you're going to have a fever like you're supposed to.
How long have you been holding on to that?
I just came to me. Ooh, stay away from me. Or you're going to be sick like you're supposed to be. Respirator like you're supposed to be. Oh, okay, all right.
Oh my gosh, too much.
Yeah, I went too far at the end. The Omicron variant, okay, is apparently 500% more transmissible than the Delta. 500%, they say it can be more transmissible than the Delta, okay? Joe Biden says it's not a cause for concern. He addressed the American people from the White House, and he said, get the coronavirus vaccine because the best protection against this new variant or any of the variants out there is the vaccine. Although I have read time after time that we don't know yet the level of protection that our current vaccines will give us against this variant. Okay. It has been designated a variant of concern. That's what you should know about the Omicron variant. South Africa confirmed late last week scientists had detected a variant with high numbers of mutations. Here's the deal. High number of mutants. You guys, this didn't come from South Africa. It's that South Africa has the greatest epidemiologists, great sequencing. That's why they're finding them there. It's not necessarily coming from South Africa. So get off South Africa's nut sacks. All right. Several countries, including the United States, have travel bans now. The travel bans, some say, are useful. Others say the travel bans are completely bullshit, that they're not going to work at all. This is just window dressing by the Biden administration. Well, there's not a lot of research right now, but people are worried about a surge. Rachel, how worried are you about the Omicron variant?
I think when I originally got worried was when I realized we were on Omicron. Okay. What happened to the letters in between Delta and Omicron?
Oh, I'll tell you what happened.
Anybody else asking that? Epsilon? Eta?
I'll tell you what happened, Rachel.
What else? Mu? Lambda? Mm-hmm. What happened? Lambda, how do we skip to Omicron? What happened in between? Do you know? Do you really know?
I don't. Oh, I do know. First of all, I'm going to say three words, and I want you to tell me what jumps out at you in your brain.
Okay.
First, Lambda, Lambda, Lambda. Who are they?
I don't know. Who's Lambda, Lambda, Lambda?
Wow. Very upsetting. Okay. So this is why this is happening.
Wait, who's Lambda, Lambda, Lambda?
Don't worry about it.
Is this show and fee?
No, it's not. Let me tell you why we're on this. I'll tell you why. So when you don't get the vaccine and the virus is running rampant through your body, you don't have any protection. This is what happens, man. Viruses replicate themselves, but they don't do it very efficiently, not very good at replicating themselves. All right. So they replicate themselves a billion times. They throw it out there just hoping for one of them to be able to get through the protection that your body or that the vaccine or whatever has put up. Right. So what happens is these variants that you see, the longer either herd immunity or the vaccine doesn't take, you get more variants because you get more people with more virus in their body with it working overtime. All right. So more people that have the virus going crazy, the higher the chance of a sustainable variant getting out there. And when I say sustainable variant, I don't mean, because most of the variants are kaput, right? Most of them don't work. But if there's even one out of that billion that figures out how to get around the protection, then that variant can become dominant very quickly. I'll tell you something else that happens. They can get worse. We've been lucky, okay? We've been lucky. Even some of the early reports about the Omicron variant say that it might be mild. It might be the cases coming back from it are mild. It might actually be mild.
Keyword might be mild. Right. We don't know.
I'm telling you guys, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to scare you into doing something you don't want to do. But if a variant pops up, that's 5%. That's 10%. That's even 3% more deadly than what we've been dealing with. It is going to be a fucking nightmare. Like, if it was, so if COVID kills, less than 1% of the people that come in contact with it. Imagine if that number was 5. Mm-hmm. Imagine if that number was 10. Now, I'm not sure what the chances are that that'll happen. And I'm not sure what would have to happen to increase the lethality of the virus itself. But man, it's tough. It's tough sledding out here, Rach.
Yeah, no, it's tough. It's scary because it's just like, as soon as, one, we're around the holidays, so there's all this travel. Two, mm-hmm. it's like we're stepping into another year and we're thinking, okay, we're improving, things are getting better. And then it's, you hear this, it's scary. And you still have people fighting getting the vaccine. We're just now getting boosters. It's like, do we need another booster to combat this new variation of the virus? It's a lot. It's a lot. It concerns me. You could put all the mites and all of that in front of it. Just the fact that there is a variant that is causing enough attention to where you're having countries ban travel. To me, it's serious.
Yeah, it's very serious.
It's not window dressing.
It's not. And it's definitely not cornbread dressing. Do you like that? Do you like cornbread dressing?
My mom makes great cornbread dressing. I don't like it. I'm picky. I'm too picky for it. I don't want to hear it. I have a particular... I eat in a particular way. I eat in a particular way. This is no secret. However, I made Thanksgiving dinner this year.
Talk about it.
Well, it wasn't traditional. Tell me what you made. There was no ham.
Some hog moss? What'd you have?
I had steak, pork chops, salmon, and chicken. I made...
No. No.
I had all the meats, except for... I waited too late. But I made my mom's for the first time, really my grandmother's, sweet potato. It's really a pie, but without the crust. And it was very good. The people were going back for seconds and thirds.
I'm sure they were. I'm sure all the food was great, but yeah. You had a little dinner party and called it Thanksgiving. I'm not buying it.
You know what? Turkey doesn't define the dinner. Ham doesn't define the dinner, Van.
It does. It does. If there's no turkey or no ham, if there's no turkey or no ham, it's a sham.
There was pork. Okay.
Pork. There was pork. What kind of pork did you have? Pork chops?
Pork. You know I love a good pork chop.
You and these goddamn pork chops. What
it's
the
my
fuck?
My favorite food. I love a good pork chop.
That's actually a great meal. So did other people come and bring sides? Did they bring their own sides?
I made everything. The only side that was brought was wine. I made Brussels sprouts, asparagus, rice. I didn't get time to make the dirty rice. Greek
macaroni
potatoes.
And cheese?
I don't do cheese, so I don't have
My nigga. Your Thanksgiving is fucking... I'm not even trying to be a jerk about it.
I don't want
to
hear it.
Your Thanksgiving is weak.
I don't want to hear it.
So you don't have... Wait, so you don't have... No... Hold on for a second. You have...
We had sweet potato.
But
okay?
You didn't even... You was about to stop yourself. You stopped yourself because you was about to say we had sweet potato pie, but then you realized you actually didn't.
I made it without the crust. I made it without the crust. All I had to do was put it in a crust. I made it so it was more of a casserole, which is still Thanksgiving food. Thank you.
I guess that counts. But you're skipping. I'm going to be honest with you. Your Thanksgiving dinner was kind of showing feet.
Don't you dare. Now that I know what that means, don't you dare put me in the same category, okay? I'm in R&B. I ain't in pop.
You had an R&B Thanksgiving. I get. I'm just fucking with you. The mere mention of dirty rice. I'm just fucking with you. And it's funny.
Didn't you
That's
travel?
Funny though.
Didn't you travel? You didn't even have that. Didn't you travel?
Didn't
you didn't even get
no
that.
No Thanksgiving.
There you go.
No
you made airplane food. Didn't have so it. I don't want
to
hear it.
I had somebody over. Shout out to Steve from... shout out to Steve and Jomi from the Ringerverse. They came over and we had lobster pizza from Barry's. By the way, if you live in LA, If you live in LA and you have not had the lobster pizza at Barry's, you are a fucking fool.
That's me.
You're dumb. Okay, you have to have the lobster pizza from Barry's. It's very, very good.
I don't like lobster.
What do you, I mean, it's so hard. You know what I mean? It's so difficult sometimes, Rachel. You're such an amazing person, but there are all of these roadblocks.
With food, there are all of these roadblocks.
You're like, your mom makes, I can look at your mom's hairstyle and tell her cornbread dressing is fucking insane. Your mom had I can look at the way your mom's hair was. When your mom came up presents, go back and look at her mom. Look at her mom's hair.
Her mom's hairstyle. A mean cornbread dressing.
I'm telling you, you can look at her mom's hair and tell that cornbread dressing is fire. And Rachel not eating the cornbread dressing. Nuts. It's crazy. Good news for all Texans. Matthew McConaughey has decided that he is not running for president of Texas.
Oh, that's good news?
Hell yeah. The fuck? You want Matthew McConaughey as the governor? No, man.
I just want Greg Abbott gone. I just want him gone. But now that we've got Beto running, and I think maybe that's why Matthew can full out. Because, you know, he's been entertaining the idea. People ask him. He's just been like tiptoeing around it. But now that there is a legitimate person running for the Democrats, he's like, all right, I'm just letting y'all know I was never going to run. But I just want Abbott out. Go.
I love that when someone's thinking about something or flirting with it, we say they're entertaining it. That just made me think of Matthew McConaughey and like from Magic Mike, and then he's dancing for the idea. He's entertaining the idea, you know, or he's a stand-up comedian. He's a stand-up comedian and he's telling jokes to the idea. Like, hey, idea, I'll tell you something crazy happened to me on the way to set. And the idea is just sitting there like entertaining the idea. I know what it means, but it's like you're entertaining the idea.
And you're personifying the idea.
I'm the idea. That's like something like I'm the idea.
Entertaining. You should do a whole thing about that where people are talking to their ideas.
People are talking to their ideas. How do you entertain your idea? What do you do to it? What's entertaining? Do different ideas? Is the bigger the idea, do you have to do more to entertain it?
I think you just think about it.
I think, yes, very true. I hope that this starts the trend of celebrities not running.
Trend of them? I mean, Kanye?
Okay. All of these guys acting like they want to run. The Rock acts like he want to run.
No, The Rock is not acting like he's going to run. People are putting that on him. Because I get annoyed when I even have to ask that question. Like, he's not running. He ain't running.
You know what he's doing?
What?
He's entertaining the idea. And then Matthew McConaughey. And then at some point, we're going to get the real ace in the hole. Which is at some point, Kim Kardashian is going to put her name on the ballot. You heard it here first.
Wait. But for what, though? Like, what do you think her first step into politics is going to be? Is it Congress?
What a great question.
Is that the very serious question? Fine, it's mine. What would you see? Because she's not going to jump to president. Mayor?
Well, she could go for something like local there in Glendale where there's a huge Armenian population, you know, and the Kardashians are really beloved. She could try to, and you know, she knows the community and stuff from her, you know, her upbringing, her dad and stuff like that. She's real close to the family. She could try something there. But it's an interesting question. What would she do? What would she do? I don't think she would start in local politics.
See, I see city council. I see her being
city council.
Yeah. I see her starting in city council.
City council. Have to get a bigger council seat. You know?
Good one, Van.
I'm on fire today. On fire today. Her butt not even that big no more. By the way, that's gone by the wayside. Kim Kardashian's butt. It's not thing anymore.
Well, people just start talking about it in the same way.
Nah. It's like talking about Kim Kardashian's butt is like very 2010, 2011.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't like the idea of celebrities getting all involved. Scooter Braun once told me that he was thinking about running for governor. Scooter might, but I don't think Scooter counts as a celebrity. He's like a manager.
Yeah, but then with the whole Taylor Swift thing, it just kind of really brought him.
You're not fucking with Scooter?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying with the Taylor Swift thing, I think people, if you didn't know who he was before, behind the scenes, it put him on Front Street.
What do you who do you support in that? Taylor or Scooter?
I'm going to support the artist. I'm going to support the artist.
But let me ask you a question. And this is, I have no dog in the fight. I couldn't care less. I hope I support the artist too. Let's say you're the artist, right? Because this also just happened recently with Ashanti and Irv Gotti.
Oh,
Irv
I know. Gotti. I meant to put that on our rundown.
this happened with Ashanti and Irv Gotti. So in case you guys don't know, Ashanti was signed to Murder, Inc. Records. Very quaint name for a record label. Murder, Inc. is the name of the record label. Murder, Inc. It's just, you know, grand larceny records. You know? Homicide. This, we got to stop. You guys don't want to do this. You guys, a lot of people in the Reddit were saying I was wrong about the hip hop thing. I was wrong. They agree with you about the hip hop thing, but I don't know. Murder, Inc.
Well, and then when you're saying in the background, it's murder.
It's murder.
It's murder.
The Real Murder, Inc. They got their name. They're a bunch of Jewish gangsters who kill people. Whatever. But so she was with Murder, Inc. She recorded all these amazing records. The master recordings of those records were owned, at least in part, by Irv Gotti, who was the producer on most of the Murder, Inc. stuff. And he was the head, along with his brother Chris, of the record label. Ashanti is re-recording these songs so that then she can then own the master recording. You might be asking yourself, why do you want to own the master recording if you got the publishing and all of that? Because with the master recording, you can control the direct money generated by the record, because you need the master recording. Like if you're going to put it in the commercial, you need the master recording to be able to, all of that stuff. If you remember, there was a lot of talk around this where Michael Jackson brought the Beatles masters, right, which is a movie that I want to do, because the story behind him getting the Beatles masters and how they got to the finish line on getting the Beatles masters is absolutely bonkers. There's a reason why Michael Jackson had to do so many shows in Australia that entire time, and it had to do with his procurement of the Beatles masters. I digress. But after he got the masters, you heard Beatles songs in like Nike commercials and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And some people were pissed off to hear Revolution in the Nike commercial and stuff. So you want to be able to control your masters because you want to know, you want to make money for where your music is going, right, but y'all also want to be able to control where your music is going. Anyway, Irv is pissed because the way he looks at it, producing Ashanti, he doesn't look at it as those being Ashanti's records.
Yeah.
He looks at it as them being their records because he had to put the money up. He had to make the beats and stuff. He had to put it all together. And while she wrote and sang this stuff, there was a whole bunch of stuff that he had to do in order to make Ashanti who she is. Mm-hmm. How do you see this? If everybody's creating the art, who's the art really belong to?
That's tough. I mean,
it is tough.
I don't know if what Ashanti's doing is exactly the same as Taylor Swift. Just because I know that Taylor was like trying to buy her masters, and then Scooter Braun swept in there and bought them when he purchased the record label. And it just seems like Ashanti. Yeah, like Ashanti's like, I'm going to re-record my songs and make money off of them. I mean, that's kind of what it sounds like to me. It's tough because, I mean, you bring up a really good point. It's not just about your voice on it and you writing the music. It's about the whole production of it. And who is the person behind that? Isn't it the record label? So I don't know. I feel like there should be some, maybe you can own it, but then there should be some type of licensing fee, or I don't know, some type of residuals that go to the other people involved with originally creating these records, unless you change the song completely, right? If she wrote it and she wrote it, it's her voice. Well, if she changes the whole beat, and it's a totally different thing, then that's different, right? Huh. It's a totally different song.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. He brought up an interesting gripe. I support the artist.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, the Fat Cat producers and record label owners, all of those guys, they have a lot of artists that they have stuff like that. The artists need their music in order to live their life.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting thing that he brought up. An interesting thing that Irv Gotti brought up. Jack Dorsey stepped down as Twitter CEO today. What do you think? Have any thoughts about this?
No, you know, I'm not like all up in the Twitter sphere like that.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. yeah, I wish I cared. People were talking about it a lot. It might mean something. There might be some kind of huge waves. You guys, I got blind spots. There might be some kind of huge wave that this makes where it's like super relevant, but I don't really give a shit.
Well, I heard some people say that, and it might have been Candace Owens, that, you know, he disagrees with some of the regulations that are happening on Twitter. And so that's part of the reason that he stepped down. And if that's the case, then that is newsworthy. And that actually is a much bigger deal if he's not agreeing with the direction that Twitter is going.
Well, we'll hear from him if that is the case. But if Candace said it, it's probably not.
You're right.
All right. Christmas is coming up. Christmas.
Okay.
The birth of Jesus. Okay, there was a baby, all right? He was in a manger, and frankincense, and myrrh. It was Jesus. Old Navy feels like Santa's too white. They are having a Santa boot camp to diversify the Santa market.
Is that necessary?
It's a virtual boot camp designed to encourage and train individuals of color to become Santa. As told to NBC News, Dion Santa D. Sinclair, a.k.a. the real Black Santa, says, I'm not about politics and I'm a faith-based Santa. So I know I am not the reason for the season and I'm happy to share that with anyone willing to listen. If I'm not your kind of Santa, that's okay. I'll keep smiling, wishing the kids Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Okay. This is the most racist fucking thing I've ever had before in my life. I can't believe this. Of all the things that we've had on this show, I've never been more offended by this.
By diversity never. Boot camp Santa?
We don't need you to teach us how to be fucking Santa.
That's why I'm laughing.
We don't, this for some fucking Philip Drummond ass shit. We don't need no Old Navy to teach us how to be Santa. Why would Old Navy... Why would they be able to teach us how to be Santa? If we want a Black Santa, we go get our Uncle Milton, rest in peace. We put him in a Santa suit. That's bam, it. Santa.
Tell me what you want.
We've been doing Santa.
And here's the other thing. In a few years, they'll learn that Santa's not real. So I don't even really care that much. I really don't.
He is real.
Okay.
He's real.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
Santa's real.
He's real. As real as that.
Santa,
as real
Santa,
as Ariel Santa. Walking these streets of Denmark.
You don't know.
As real as that.
You don't know. Here's the thing. I've never been to Denmark before. Can you rule it out?
I have.
You can't rule it out.
I didn't see her.
You can't rule
it
out.
Has she aged?
But maybe she's not.
Do you think she's timeless?
Maybe.
Timeless?
That's a good question. I'm not sure about that. I think
is Flounder around as well? Sebastian?
Sebastian is my guy. On that I see. Typically racist. but no, I looked at this and I'm like, why would Old Navy need to teach us how to be you
they got
shit
it
like
wrong.
That is like they got it wrong, man. You know what you know what we do need? This is the kind of shit I don't like. Old Navy don't need to teach us how to be Santa, but maybe donating some Santa suits might be dope. You know, going to the hood with some Santa suits. You know what else they need in the hood? Gifts.
That's what I was about to say. Forget the Santa.
Gifts.
Like, just give the gifts.
Fuck? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
You know what you do to Santa? Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Eat some cookies. Drop a present off. It's not that hard. Niggas don't need class for that. I'm saying, like, we don't do. Who needs class for that? You think we need class for that?
Also, Where is Santa in Old Navy? Is this for commercials? Is this? I've never seen a Santa in an Old Navy store. What, like, what do you mean? I'm not even understanding what this is. Old Navy, right? It's their Santa. Yeah. Where is Santa? When is Santa?
The home? Kringle family owns Old Navy.
The who?
What are you talking about? The Kringle family.
Who is that?
The Kringles, the billionaire family that, like, they own Old Navy.
Okay.
This is why the Santa connection. Yeah, the Kringle family.
Okay, but what's the connection to Santa?
Santa's name is Kris Kringle, so the Kringle family.
Oh. Yeah,
the Kringle family, like Saint Nick, the father.
Okay,
so
but
back
the Santas
in the day,
that they're training, where are these Santas going? In malls? In the store? I'm confused. What? I'm so confused.
I can't
I'm so
believe
confused.
You don't know this.
Well, after
Old Navy is Old Navy is responsible. So the Kringle family, Kringle Inc., is responsible for, like, they train Santas. That's how Old Navy got started. They train Santas.
Maybe you should. I'm sure I'm not alone. I did not know this.
Maybe it is something that I kind of like. It's like TMZ stuff because there was a lawsuit back in the day. It was like,
okay,
wow,
I had no idea. Yeah. Yes, I do remember his name is Kris Kringle, but that's about as far as I get. I had no
right.
idea.
So
this
is family. This family, they're from Key West, the Kringle family. Mm-hmm. They started Old Navy back in the day. It was like an army apparel store or whatever, whatever. And they started like the nationwide thing. You ever see Miracle on 34th Street?
Pieces of it.
Right, so if you saw Miracle on 34th Street, the guy who's trying to be the Santa inside of the, remember okay. He was talking about Santa training, like the Kringle people, they put the Santas in there. Like, there's like a union. It's a Santa union.
Wow.
But like,
okay,
all the black Santas, they're like not in the Kris Kringle Santa. I'm making all of this up. All of this is like made up.
Fuck,
I just
man.
Made all of this. I just
like, made... so none of this is true? None of this is true? It's time to go. I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to play. Wait, Van, none of this is true?
Fuck no. Old Navy, you're absolutely right. Old Navy don't got no authority over Christmas.
That's what I was
you're
like,
right.
Okay. After showing feet, I'm questioning everything that I'm saying on this podcast. I don't know anymore. I need a reset.
No.
Okay,
no,
thank
but
you.
But seriously,
thank
you know, you're completely right.
Old
Navy
like,
has
Old
no...
Navy's owned by Gap and the Banana Republic. I was like, that's what I was thinking about. I was like, I'm so confused.
The Kringle
you know
family.
Have you been on rum this whole time on this podcast? You like
fucking right. What? We went on a boat, man. It's Jeff's birthday. We went on a boat earlier today. I swam.
So you're lit.
I was on a jet ski. Fucking right. We did. We did the very serious question.
Kim Kardashian.
Which was, what was it again? Kim Kardashian.
Okay. All right.
Van's very serious question. Actually, not Van's. Rach's very serious question for the week is, what is Kim Kardashian going to run for? She's going to run for something. Okay.
What will it be?
What is she going to run for? We haven't even talked about her new boyfriend. Do you care?
Pete Davidson? What is there to talk about?
Pete Davidson.
I can't even talk about it. I don't believe it.
Pete Davidson is a fucking monster out here, man. He's doing his fucking thing, Pete. Come on, Pete.
Women love a funny
Get
man.
It.
Women love a funny man.
Well, they do. Especially when he's like 6'9 or whatever. Pete's like 6'6 or some shit like that. All right. What is Kim Kardashian going to run for? What do you think she's going to run for? What is she going to do? Giving Tuesday is today. You're listening. It's November 30th. It's Giving Tuesday. It's very important in the era of rank consumerism that we live in that you guys take the time out to give a little.
Right.
Rachel, do you have a charity that you want people to give to?
Yes. Beacon Hill Preparatory Institute. I have been working with them since... They're in Dallas, Texas. I've been working with them since when I was an attorney, like before any of all of this. And I used to do after-school tutoring. I used to help them prep their essays for their application for college and help them with writing. And it's a wonderful institute that is all about education and success and prep and tutoring programs and supporting programs and all of that. Anyways, give to them. They're amazing. Shout out to Miss Derry.
Okay. By the way, I'm not going to give them no money, but I will do this. I'm going to take the entire Beacon Hill to Fuel City.
Okay, you can
They're
do
right
that.
There in Dallas. We all going to Fuel City. And then I am going to give them some money. I would like you guys to support financially and with your energy the Cave of Adullam. It's a transitional training academy in Detroit, Michigan for young black boys. It is headed up by a man who is like a mentor, an uncle, a genius, a scholar, just one of the most remarkable human beings on the planet. His name is Jason Wilson. The thought of the man and the example that Mr. Wilson sets for these boys, and he really sets for all of us, it's just too much. His name is at Jason Wilson. The school is at Cave 313 in Detroit, in a place where our boys definitely need all the emotional stability, the self-defense skills, and, you know, some of that good word training, all of that stuff that he's doing up there with them. It's amazing. I don't know if you guys ever seen a video of a young man. He's doing something in martial arts and he fails and he wants to cry. And he's fighting back his tears, and his coach tells him, and I don't want to cry, but his coach tells him, go ahead and cry. Like, cry. Like, it's okay. It's like, cry. Mm-hmm. Cry. He also has a book out right now, Jason Wilson. He has two books. One is called Cry Like a Man. The other one is called Battle Scars, I believe. Both of those books right now are doing very well. You might have seen them on Joe Rogan. But just amazing, amazing. So give to the Cave, because we need caves in every city. All right.
It's amazing.
It's enough of this rum-filled podcast. It is, but we're going to take them all to Fuel City. Fuel City is the goal. I am Van Lathan Jr.
And I'm Rachel Lynn Lindsay. Bye, guys.